1 Samuel chapter 17.
Brother Lance has got you ready to dance, and I've got to get you back ready to fight. I appreciate the privilege to be in Camp Meeting again. I'm glad you're here. I think I counted today, I believe this is 10 years straight that I've been here. And I appreciate the opportunity. What a blessing. What a place. What a church. What a pastor. I appreciate Brother Larry being able to be with us in Camp Meeting. I guess it is questionable for a while. Been sick, and I appreciate him being here tonight. I'm going to read from verse number 1 of chapter 17. I'd ask you to stand with me as I read the Word of God. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Socoh, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Socoh and Azekah in the Ephesdamim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose ye a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man, that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. You may be seated. I want to preach for a little while, if God will help me tonight, on the giants in your life. And I'm talking to you. It doesn't make any difference to me who you are, whether you're a preacher, whether you're a 12-year-old boy or girl that's a Christian, whether you're a lady, a preacher's wife, a deacon's wife, whether you're a janitor of the church, there are giants in your life. There are some things that bother you. And I've never met anybody that was truthful. But what told me, at least in confidence, preacher, there's a thing or two that has plagued me from day one and still follows me and bothers me. Everybody's got at least one giant in their life. Now, I looked again this afternoon to make sure, but I think that giants in the Bible is nowhere that any good come out of a giant. About everywhere that giants were mentioned, there's something bad about them. This particular giant was a giant of Gath. And this seemed to be the headquarters of the giants. If there was a giants from a tributary, then it gave the other city, such as Gath Rimmon. But they all seemed to go back to this city of Gath. And I had a little while of figuring that out. But it came to me that no matter where, whether it's in the White House or whether it's down at your house, the really the headquarters is in hell. Now, if you get this real good, it'll be a help to you that lady down the street that's making trouble for you as a pastor, it don't originate with her. It originates in hell. That fella in the church that's been a bother and a thorn in your flesh all these years, you'd be well advised not to try to get rid of him, but to get rid of a fella from headquarters, and that's the devil. Amen. You have trouble with your wife, don't get rid of her, get rid of the devil that's in her. And if you have trouble with yourself, are you hearing me? You don't go somewhere and mope and say, I cannot go any further. The giant that's bothering you is the devil, and he'll destroy you if you'll let him. Now, the scripture that I read in your hearing shows two groups of people. The God's crowd and what's pictured in the Bible as the devil's crowd. And the one crowd's on one hillside and one crowd's on the other. And there's a loudmouth on the devil's side, there always is. And he's yawing at the people of God, and he's got them scared. And he's coming down on the hillside and saying that you're against the Philistines. And I'm not a Philistine. He said that you got a man over on your side that you call a man. Why don't you send him out? I admire the tactics that he used. He's pretty smart. And he's looking for somebody that's got the intestinal fortitude to fight against him. Now, he's what my daddy called a hoss. He's about 9 feet and a half tall. And his coat weighs about 140 pounds. His spear that he carries weighs about 20 pounds. He's got armor all over him. And he can talk loud enough for everybody to hear. Now, that's pretty big. And it's pretty scary for anybody to try to fight against him. And I'm just going to be truthful with you. I'm afraid to try to fight the devil by myself. How about now? I want you to look at this. He didn't know it, but over yonder in a little old brook, there's a little old rock that had his obituary wrote on it. And over yonder in the sheep cote was a little old shepherd boy that had two rawhide thongs and a little old saddle in it that was going to sling the rock with the help of God, that was going to put him in the big sleep. Now, I don't know why the devil knows it yet or not. He seems to me pretty hard for him to catch up to the thing, but his ends are coming. Thank God, the good shepherd of God did a thing over yonder on the hill with two cross pieces of wood and some nails. That's going to seal his doom. Praise God. I'm glad, thank God, I've got a champion. I don't have to go down where the devil said by myself. I believe the scripture will tell us that this fella that was on the cross had already whipped him one time and thrown him out of heaven, and what he'd done was He can do it again. And he is coming. Bless his name. I'm glad, thank God, I don't have to fight by myself. I'm glad I know there's a God in heaven. I reminded him in my room today. He said, I'll go with you. And I'll never leave you. And I'll never forsake you. What a Lord. What a God I've got. That will stay with me all the way. And fight my battles for me. Amen. Here is the devil's crowd. And there's the Lord's crowd. And nobody to fight the giant. I'm ashamed tonight. I'm a Baptist. And I'm that way because I believe it's right. But I'm ashamed of a bunch of Baptist folk that won't fight. Are y'all hearing me tonight? I mean, we'll fuss and quarrel, but we won't fight the devil. We get mad at the preacher for preaching to us about how we dress and live and talk. Now, y'all was a shout while ago. We'll see how long that's going to stay with me. But we get a little wheat meat and a little bit milky when the old man of God gets to hearing the line against sin and calling it by name and telling folks they'll have to live right if God's going to be the helper. Now, you can't expect God to help you or help the devil and that you are dressed like the devil's crowd and talk like the devil's crowd and act like the devil. You can't expect no help from God. But if you, it'd be good for us. It's hard a lot of times for me to tell which side folks are on.
Yes, sir.
I don't know whether you're on that hillside or whether you're on this hillside. It'd be good for you to show up some morning, thank God, with the right stripes on you, where folks would know who you're fighting for. Amen. Now here's them big warriors out there on the valley that his father sent for out of the sheep coat and said, I want you to go see about your brother. Now, I want us to just kind of stop right there a minute and run the tape back a while and see the prophet Samuel going down to Jesse's house with a little vial of oil in his hand and choosing one of Jesse's sons. I want you to know God's not caught unawares, brother. He started figuring this out before the world ever began. Amen. He knew I was going to be a preacher before the sun ever come up over the Garden of Eden. And he made preparations for me to have enough God, if I wanted it, to preach him power. I'm glad tonight that there's a holy God in heaven. I've got the ammunition and the gun already loaded for every battle that I'll have with the devil. Oh, hallelujah. And his daddy said, son, I want you to notice his daddy didn't have to check up, see where he was, whether he was at the beach or up in the mountains or hunting, whether he's gone deer hunting or whether he's fishing down on the beach. He knew where his servant was. He was over there, that little bunch of sheep. Amen. And I won't tell you, if you're a pastor, thank God you ought to be over there, that little bunch of sheep. And trying to pastor them. Now, I know there's not much popularity. A shepherd's a lonely job. And there's lots of times them shepherds don't see anybody for days. There's lots of times I see a lot of people, but I don't see nobody I can talk to. Amen. I was telling the preacher this afternoon. I'm telling you, the preacher's life sometimes gets long and it gets aggravating. And I've been out in the world of trying to preach. And there'd been trouble down there. And I'd been trouble of coming home. And somebody got out of gear in my church. And I got home and things just wasn't right at home about the bills or something. And this and that. And I thought, what am I going to do? Every time somebody called, there's a little something wrong.
And I got in the car and started downtown. I had to get some milk or something to come up behind an old pickup truck flopping along. I just barely mentioned it. And there's a sign on the back of it. Said, the more I'm with people, the better I like my dog. And I thought about stopping and getting out and hollering. And then I thought, that ain't right. God's not called me to shepherd dogs. He's called me to shepherd sheep. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, it's a job, but it's right. And the God, you hear me preachers tonight, the God in heaven has got the timber of a hip of stacked of fat. He knows all your sheep, if they are sheep, and He calls them by name, and He knows all their problems, and He's never called a shepherd, but what He outfitted him, thank God, to take care of the crowd down at the church house. Oh, hallelujah. Now, I don't know what your giant is. I don't know. About 85% of the folks I run into are in depression. They're in some kind of depression. And some of them will lie to you while you're with them. I ask these pastors, how's it going at your church? And I already know, somebody's already told me, that they've had a cuss fight over there and about 3/4 of his people's left. And he'll throw his chest back and say, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. How they're just blowing the walls out. I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to have to build. Yeah. And I know what he's feeling inside. He's in depression, but he's trying to blow his way out of it, and you can't do that. You can brag all you want to, and it ain't going to get you out of the hole. Amen. You say, well, preacher, how do I get out of depression? First of all, you got to figure out why you're in depression. Yeah. And we're such babies, the most of the time we're in depression because it don't go our way. If it don't go our way, everybody, hop when we say hop, we get in depression and get the pooch mouth and want to go to the house and resign and quit. Amen. Depression. But I'm going to tell you where the trouble is most of the time. It's the devil messing with your mind. Amen. The Lord never puts you in depression. It's some kind of wicked spirit that's got you down. Amen. God knows how to deal with it. You say, preacher, you ever been depressed? Sure did. I thought I had cancer. They told me they found a spot on my liver, and they found a knot on my kidney, and they found a polyp in my gallbladder, some kind of knot in my gallbladder. And the doctor said, I don't know what it is, and I got depressed. You said a while ago, all that depression most from the devil. That's right. It's right in Hanley's case, just like it was yours. I should have shouted and said, let her be. It don't make no difference, alive or dead. I thank God, but it just about got me down. Are you hearing me? But they come a day, blessed sweet man, when I kept, and I'm going to tell you something else, I kept trusting God. I had the best revival that I've ever had in my life right in the middle of that depression. You say, what is you doing? I stayed in the hospital about all day just taking x-rays, and I've been fooling them young people. Now, you say, don't you get on that, preacher. I'm going to tell you what, if you want to get help, don't fool around them little teenagers smoking pot on the side and telling you how wonderful it is to be a charismatic Christian. Find you once been through the battle. Amen. And thank God will have sympathy and mercy on you. I said, I'll talk to an old doctor. And he checked that spot on my liver. And he said, what kind of a liquor do you drink? And I said, I don't drink any. And he said, when did you quit? And I said, I never have drunk any liquor in my life. And he said, go home and forget it. There ain't nothing bad with you. It's a birthmark. Oh, yeah. I'm talking about the good shepherd knows how to get you out of that. Amen. My wife was in depression come to that time, that difficult time in a lady's life. I mean, in deep depression. And we prayed and prayed, and we go to church and sang and prayed. Be good one day and bad the next. And one day we had prayed and prayed, and she's laying in the back room. I was in the living room reading the Bible, and everything was quiet and still. Because she come charging out of that back room and said, "What'd you turn the music off for?" And I said, "Honey, didn't have music on." Said, "Honey, you did." And said, "There's a singing." And I said, "But honey, there's no music on. What was the singing?" And she said, "There's a singing. Everything is going to be all right."
Amen.
Amen. And from that day to this, thank God everything's been all right.
Amen.
God knows how to get you out of depression.
Amen.
Amen. The giant in your life may be other preachers.
You're right.
All right, you ladies and lay members can just clutch it for a few minutes and let me talk to my fellow preachers. Boy, there's a whole lot of pressure put on us by other preachers. They told me, I started back young, I guess it's in the 60s, getting the sword of the Lord, and they started telling me that if I didn't baptize at least 100 a year, I was backslidden. And I thought everybody, you know, the world loves this. They love this man and love this preacher. And surely I'm backslid. And I got to do something. And I wanted them to tell me what to do. And they had the formula in there, you know. You go from door to door and you buy 15 buses. And you run them every Sunday morning. And we ain't got enough roads in my county. I'd run 15 buses. Are you hearing me? You'd have to pick up stray dogs and everything else. I'd get them full. And I'm going to tell you, I ain't baptized 100. In the last 15 years. But I come to the conclusion one morning that my ministry wasn't between me and them fellas. That my ministry and my preaching was between me and God Almighty. Amen. And so I went back to the ground again, to the base rock, and started out again, and said, "I just gave my praise in the Holy Ghost and let the Lord God direct my heart." Well, hallelujah. And it's a working all right. I said it's a working all right. I said it's a working all right. Hallelujah. Your depression might be the president. And they ain't no use y'all looking at me. You ask the people about all down through the country, what's wrong with America? And they'll call his name. It's about God and man. I can ask them why the deacon went off with somebody else's wife. And they'll just about bring Clinton into it. He is not the problem. Wonder what is wrong before he come along. Same old devil. Got his headquarters in Gath. Amen. The same old devil. As wicked as it is in the White House. He don't bother me. He may one day have me killed for preaching the Word of God. But I don't need to be in depression when he gets here. I'm going to aim to be on the battlefield. Yes, yes, man. Hallelujah. Your giant could be your pride. You've preached around a little bit and got went to school and got some papers in your hand. Your husband just got elected general manager down at the factory. And them ladies you used to talk to at church, you don't hardly talk to them no more. And when you go in church on Sunday morning, you go in about 2 minutes late, so everybody will turn around and look at you and say, "My, my." The devil that's bothering you is your pride. Oh, yes. I wonder who the giant is in your life. Down into the army, and I'm a soon quit. Down into the army comes that little old shepherd boy, and gets out of the chariot and leaves it with a keeper. and comes down to where the battle is and said, I want to see my brethren. I come to bring them some cheese and some corn. Wouldn't it be good some Sunday morning if you'd come to church with your pockets full of cheese and corn for the brethren? You know what we do about all the time? We come to church, oh, I've got to have help. Somebody come with the altar with me and pray. Who's going to help you? Everybody else about in the same shape you are. Amen. Everybody's down. Nobody hardly start out. I'm talking about reality now. Nobody hardly start out and say, I want to thank God this morning that I feel good in my soul. I just want to thank God I got up this morning. I'm feeling fine with heaven on my mind. I don't have no troubles. Ain't worried about nothing. I prayed it out of the way last night about 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon. And thank God I come this morning. I'll help somebody if you need to go to order. I like to pray with you. I won't tell you the Lord's all right.
David said, I brought something to my brothers and I want to take their pledge. And he said that, now this is not in there, but I can hear him say, who's the loud mouth? I've been in churches and wanted to say that. Amen. He's an uncircumcised Philistine. Why don't you stand against him? I want to ask y'all something tonight. Why don't you stand against him? Have you got mad at your preacher? Have you left your church or some other old something that didn't suit you? You run from the battle. You just turn and let you know is God's man and stay and fight and take your King James Bible and walk down after he gets done preaching and take a hold of him and say, thank God for my preacher. Hallelujah. Amen. I've told you this before. I got a lot of little fellas at my church. I preached one morning. Just I get a lot rougher at home than I do out on the road. And I've been especially rough that morning. And when the Holy Spirit got off of me, I got ashamed. And I said, all right, everybody stand. Everybody stood. And I stood my head down and said, you're dismissed. And nobody moved. And I thought they didn't understand me. And I said, y'all go on home. I don't want to see you anymore. Come back tonight. And nobody moved. And I heard the pitter-patter of the little feet. Them little fellas would come to me after I preached on Sunday morning. And they just thought I was done. I dismissed the people. They didn't know nobody else had moved. And I felt them hold of me. And I looked down on one is little old Josh. He's a big boy now, pretty good size. And he had them glasses on about thick as the bottom of a Coke bottle. And I felt him hold of me. And I said, hey, Josh, reach down and touch you. He said, I like your preaching. I looked down. I think it's little old Tina. She has a hold of me and she said, you preach good. I said, everybody sit down again. I said, I'm a fixing to preach. Amen. Thank God. You say, what else, them little old fellas? When nobody else will do anything. When done with the gold men and women, there ought to have been 3 deacons at least at my church and 8 or 10 men raised to their feet and said, thank God for my preacher that ain't afraid.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All of you know the story. David, his brothers got after him and said, you ought to be back down here, that little bunch of sheep. You ever have folks tell you, you just didn't have what it took? Why don't you go? They always told me, said, now, Hanley, you need to go join the Church of God or something. Well, you carry on, ain't going to work in the Baptist church. Amen. Any little old thing that'll discourage you. Ain't that right? My mama used to get a hold of me and our Sunday school superintendent. Don't think I'd announce my call to preach. My mama would get a hold of me and she'd say, Hanley, and she didn't know much English grammar. She said, I think you've got the what it takes.
And she didn't really know that I couldn't talk and couldn't hardly say anything for people. But she's a boasting her son. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Thank God that there are a few helpers that'll go down in the valley with you and help you fight the giant. Amen, amen. David went up in the captain's tent. That's where you're going to have to go if you went out against the giants in your life. No use you going to them associational meetings. That ain't. But if you'll get in the captain's tent, you can get help.
Amen.
Did you know Saul didn't really do anything? Saul didn't really say anything to David that looked like it helped him. But he did have him to try on his armor.
Yeah.
And I believe every bit of that was from the Lord. And David tried it on that I've set him aside to go. And then he said, I can't dare. I believe I'll go with what's won all my battles back down through the years. Boy, if you've learned that lesson, preacher, you'll have got way up on the ladder. What helped you back under when you preach the first message will help you when you preach the last one. Amen. David took that sling and that staff, and he took that little old script and took that stone. Went down to that spring.
Yeah.
And got down in there. Now I think, Brother Terry, that water, that's the moving water, is the Holy Ghost, and still water is the Word of God. He got his feet in it, and then he got his hands in it, and got him. If you get any ammunition, that's where it's going to be. Yeah, you can read all them books you want to, and that'll be good. But if you're going out to battle, I'd just go on up to the captain's tent and then go down to spring and get me some real ammunition out of the Word of God and go out under the power of the Holy Ghost, and somebody's fixing to get a whip, and it ain't going to be you.
Amen.
Amen. David come up out of the spring and headed toward the army. I missed that a long time. He just didn't head toward Goliath. He is souped up some much. He is headed towards, read it. He said he told the whole army and told Goliath he's going to whip the whole army. He's going to put them in a wonder. I'm going to tell you, the boldness of the Holy Ghost is on him. Amen. He got in the pulpit that morning and wasn't afraid of none of the committees. He said, victory is a coming on the Lord's side today.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, sir.
The battle ensues, and all that old garbage the giant put out and talked him down. Said, "Am I a dog? You just a little old stripling of a lad, and you come at me with staves." But David said, "I come to you in the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. Bless His name." He said, "The very God you defile." He said, "I'm going to take your head today and to whip the armies of the Philistines, that you'll know there's a God in Israel."
Amen.
You know, a lot of folks said, "I don't know how this all going to come out." I do. Amen. The same God that helped David is going to help me and you. And we're coming down to victory one of these days. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, y'all believe that? We shall wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. Wear a crown. Wear a crown. Wear a bright and shining crown. And
When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem.